Welcome to episode 14 of the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm Greg Johnson, and today is Saturday, May 9th, 2020. The topic for this episode is electric bicycles. Last summer, I was looking around at electric vehicles, specifically the Nissan Leaf and the lower-priced, more economical Tesla models. And in that research, I was finding out that while electric cars are really ideal for some situations and for some people, they aren't necessarily economical for everybody. So if you are somebody who is commuting daily and regularly going to the same job that is within the range of either the two-way trip available for the car, or perhaps the one-way trip, and you can charge up at work. If you're in that situation, and if you drive a lot of miles every month, then you could save some considerable money by using an electric car. Now, the electricity comes from various sources, some clean and some not so clean. So the environmental impact of your driving an electric car may be different than what you might expect. But in any event, I'll summarize the electric car adventure and research in telling this story. We had gone down to Kansas City and stopped to visit a Tesla. It's not really a dealership, but like a showroom where employees will let you take a car out for a test drive. And I had an interesting conversation with somebody there who was our contact for this test drive. And I had a few questions for them. So the questions were, number one, how long does it take the car to charge up if you just plug into regular AC power at home? And the answer to that was that you get about 4 miles of driving for every hour of charging. So 10 hours of charging, 40 miles, 20 hours, 80 miles. But to get, say, 160 miles, you'd need 40 hours of charging. And you can see that that charge time could be a bit of a deterrent for people that need to put in a lot of miles every day. And when they're charging at home, they would be plugging into a standard AC outlet. They may not be able to get enough charging in for the miles they need. What's usually recommended is to get a home charging system that would utilize 220 volt system that would have the same power level as like an electric dryer. And with that, you might get 12 miles of driving for every hour of charging. That's a little more reasonable. So 10 hours of charging, 120 miles, that works for many people. But if you don't have easy access to that ability to install a high power charging station, then having an electric car isn't quite as practical depending on your needs. Another factor is in our area in Coralville, which is near where we live, there is a grocery store called Hy-Vee, and they have some Tesla charging stations that I've looked on some maps, and they show up as free charging stations for Tesla owners, high-speed charging. And if you were to use a charging station like that, you could really charge up your vehicle very quickly. But the problem is, as I was speaking to this Tesla representative, they said that you really don't want to use those chargers frequently. In my mind, I thought, oh, this is great. I can have basically unlimited fuel for life, get a Tesla, and then just charge up at a free charging station. Well, that's not how that works. So after looking into some of these practical applications for the electric vehicles and knowing that my mileage that I would be driving is pretty limited, I would be going to client locations and not needing to be going hundreds of miles. So for me, the payback of having an electric car and even the carbon footprint would just not be practical. And what I mean by that is there's certainly some carbon footprint that goes into manufacturing an electric car, and there are people driving to the electric car factory and presumably not all driving electric cars. So there are parts being shipped around the world, etc. There's a pretty big carbon footprint to make any vehicle. And so if I'm just driving a few miles a day or maybe no miles a day, then that's a lot of material and investment for a small return on that. Okay, so I still, though, was intrigued with this idea of having an electric vehicle of some kind. So this was in the summer of 2019, and I had a lot of client work to do, and I wanted to save on the impact that I would be having on the environment, and I wanted to enjoy sort of some kind of electric-powered vehicle, and I started looking into electric bicycles. A number of years previously, when I'd looked into electric bicycles, I found that they were $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, depending on what model you were looking at, and the range wasn't quite as good as I would have hoped for, and the top speeds weren't quite good, and some of these were just assisting your pedaling. So I'd given up on the idea previously, but last year I stopped by a dealer of sorts in Iowa City. It's Riverside Drive. The name of the business is Kelly's Auto and Motorsports. And I'd driven by the business before and noticed quite a few scooters, gas-powered scooters and some motorcycles, as well as vehicles, used vehicles that they sell. And they also have ATVs, these gas-powered four-wheel vehicles that people will often use for recreation or in farming, or people that have big ranches will get around their property using one of those. And one day I stopped by and just to learn more about what products they have, and I discovered that they have bicycles, electric bicycles, fat tire bikes, and also sort of regular comfort cruiser bikes. And the pricing was quite a bit lower than what I'd seen elsewhere when I'd been doing some research. So they have electric bikes for $1,200, $1,400, something like that. Quite a bit less than $3,000 or $4,000. And probably these bikes are made in similar factories as the other bikes I was looking at. So I became intrigued with this and decided to go ahead and get one. And you probably have a similar vendor near you. If you don't, you can order these kinds of bikes online. You can get them even on Amazon. I've seen what looks like similar designs for a little bit less money, but I wanted to support a local store. But regardless of what path you take in your pursuit of looking at electric bicycles, you could go with a name brand, recognized name brand like Trek. You could go with a bike shop. We have some great bike shops in Iowa City. Jeff's Bike and Ski and World of Bikes and Broken Spoke. I think most of the other shops are still around, but sometimes they move or have seasonal hours. But anyway, it's nice to support your local small town kind of shops. and keep those going, because they can offer you excellent service, excellent advice on what bike might work for you best. And these local bike shops usually get involved in helping to promote bike trails and safer bicycling in the city through having special bike lanes, etc. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of dip my toes into this idea of electric bikes. I didn't want to spend thousands of dollars. I knew I'd also want to be getting an extra battery to give me some additional range. Normally people don't do that. They ride and then they come home and charge their bike up again. But I wanted to use the electric bike for my consulting work, and that sometimes takes me across town and I might be out all day. So I wanted to use this electric bike essentially as an alternative to a Tesla. So a Tesla alternative that costs $1,400 instead of $40,000. And I did calculate the cost per mile for this electric bike that I bought last year. And the cost per mile equivalent, you know, what you would pay for a gallon of gasoline, if you work out the math, it ends up being about 1,000 miles per gallon. So super cheap to get yourself from point A to point B on a nice day. And I just thought that was kind of cool. And I actually would see some economic benefit to having that as an alternative. Now, I have a traditional bicycle. It's also a comfort style bike. I'm going to do a separate podcast on different kinds of bikes and my experience over the years with bikes, but right now I'm just focusing on electric bikes in this episode. But the other bike that I have that's a comfort bike is a little bit difficult to pedal up hills because you're not really sitting directly above the pedals. You can't stand up and let your body weight push the bicycle pedal down. You're just using your leg muscles, and in that, you won't have as much leverage going up hills. For the most part, that's fine if you're on trails that are flat, but in Iowa City, we do have some pretty steep hills going near the river and even between the golf course that is on Melrose Avenue going into Coralville. There's a trail that goes back that way, and there's a very steep hill if you're coming back up. So anyway, there are some steep inclines, West Benton. People who live here know the areas that I'm talking about. And so the comfort bikes are wonderful most of the time, but not so much fun when trying to go up a steep hill. And that's where having an electric bike can be helpful. If you're hauling something or whatever the case may be, you'll get an extra boost going up a hill. So this was sort of a long introduction to the context of me looking for an electric bike. And I hope I haven't bored you with that, but I wanted to give you an idea of why I started looking at electric bikes more recently and what I ended up with. I want to talk now about how an electric bicycle can impact your bicycling experience. I mentioned the hills. If you're somebody that doesn't have a lot of bicycling training and experience and stamina, going up these hills may not be fun. You know, you might have to get off the bike and walk, and now you're not just walking up a hill, but you're pushing a heavy bike up a hill. So the electric bike basically flattens those hills. That's kind of fun. It makes bicycling, you're still going to have to exert some effort, but just not as much. So that's one thing. The other consideration is, for me, another motivator really, was that I found I was driving the car a lot more my client schedule was getting busier and busier, and I wanted to take some of these requests that were coming in from across town and, you know, in adjacent cities or whatever. Now, when I say adjacent cities, that sounds like it would be, you know, a 20-minute or 30-minute drive or something. But in our area, Coralville and Iowa City sort of merge at a certain point. But in any event, I wanted to be doing more client work, and I didn't want to be driving as much. And so the electric bike really made that possible, that I could have a faster way to go further. And it just meant I'd be on the bike more, I would be outdoors more, breathing in that fresh air, and getting some exercise, maybe half of the workout that it would otherwise be. But with my client work, I didn't want to be showing up at a job site, you know, if it's a business or somebody's home, I didn't want to be showing up and dripping with sweat or something, you know, so I didn't want to be exerting myself that much. And I didn't want the stress of rushing from one client call, one service call to another. With the electric bike, I have the confidence of knowing I can pretty much get anywhere in our area, Iowa City, Coralville, North Liberty, just as easily as I could if I were driving a car, and perhaps faster, because as an example, the area where we live is on the west side of Iowa City. We're closer to Coralville than Iowa City, I guess, or kind of split in between. And there's some places, for example, one area called the Peninsula neighborhood that would take quite a while to get to by car because there is no bridge, there's no vehicle bridge to easily get there unless you go through downtown Iowa City or near the city park. Now, some of that may change in the future, so this podcast is relevant for just right now. But anyway, I found that if I take a bicycle, I can cross the river near a restaurant that's called Iowa River Power Company. I can cross the river using a footbridge, a very wide footbridge, and of course, being careful not to startle pedestrians. But usually there's not a lot of foot traffic there anyway, and it's designed for bicyclists and pedestrians. But anyway, I can go from home to this Peninsula neighborhood using bicycle trails where no cars would ever be able to go and really make good time. And there are other areas in Iowa City and in Coralville where I can almost take a straight shot on the bike using trails through wooded areas or, you know, trails that connect up in a way that roads just don't. So the electric bike became a really great tool. And even I was using my traditional bicycle quite a bit, but again, it had those limitations of being a little bit slower, a little bit more difficult up hills, and in a day, not giving me the range that I would want if I had a lot of service calls to make. So I think these electric bikes would be great for delivery people as well, depending on what you're delivering. I began keeping a spreadsheet as soon as I started using the electric bike. I wanted to have a spreadsheet of how many miles was I using it, and to keep track of also my time and miles for clients. But I also wanted to see how many miles I was getting out of these electric batteries between charges. And that would help me estimate, you know, how much power I had left in the battery for any given day. So if I began to notice, okay, I'm getting 40 miles per, you know, battery or 20 miles per battery or whatever the case may be, then I would look at what my daily biking was going to be. And I would know, okay, with half of the power left in that battery, based on the miles I've used it, and another full battery, I should be able to get through the day just fine. But it was sort of like having a very accurate fuel gauge, you know, that would tell you, like these computers in the cars today that tell you how many more miles you can go. I was able to be pretty accurate with how much battery life was left in the electric bike for the battery. And something else I keep track of in that spreadsheet are the recharge cycles. So how many times have I recharged the batteries? I'm sure after 100, 200, 500, 1,000 charges, I will start to notice that the batteries don't last as long. That's typical for, you know, laptop computers or any kind of electric battery-powered devices. And by having that information also, I can estimate how often will I need to purchase batteries, and that should be a factor in considering the cost of operation for these electric bikes. Something I like about this particular model of electric bike is that if I want to just let the battery do all the work, I can do that. There's an accelerator, and when I use that accelerator, I can just rest my feet on the pedals and zip along quite quickly. And sometimes it's nice just to take a break. If I've been, you know, pedaling it for quite a while and I don't want to work up a sweat, or if it's super hot on a certain day, I might just use that feature, and it's nice to have. There's a certain level of responsibility with electric bicycles. You're really on your honor to be respectful of other cyclists, of people who are out for a hike or a walk. You need to be very alert on these trails, particularly ones where there's limited visibility. And because the electric bikes can go, you know, 20 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour, depending on how much you're putting into the pedals, and some models can go faster than that if they're designed to be for off-road use, it means that you're going the speed of, you know, a motorcycle or a car in slow traffic, and there are going to be people who are going 3 miles an hour or 10 miles an hour. So you just want to be very careful and not zip along without considering your surroundings, because it's that kind of behavior, reckless and careless and thoughtless behavior, that whether you're riding a regular bicycle or an electric one, gives bicyclists a bad reputation, and that's not good. So always, whatever your bicycle is, have a bell, use verbal cues when you're pulling up close to somebody, and go ahead and slow down. Don't just assume that they heard your bell or they heard you say on your left and you're going 20 miles an hour. Sometimes people have those little earbuds in and you can't tell that they're not listening, you know? So you always just have to be very careful. And even around other cyclists, the same thing. Some people will put in these noise-canceling earbuds or headphones and they're totally oblivious to what's going on around them. It's not safe. It's kind of reckless and such, but that's the way it is. So you just have to be super careful. One thing I noticed about this cheaper model of electric bike that I have is that it weighs a lot. If you had to pedal it without the battery, it would be difficult. I've done that, and I think it weighs like 40 pounds or 50 pounds because it has the heavy battery on there, and it's a really kind of rugged, heavy steel frame. So you want to make sure that you have enough battery power, and depending on the company you're buying from, these batteries can cost $300, $400. So that's a considerable expense. But I would say go ahead and carry an extra battery with you, have some bags, and have the extra battery just in case, so you don't get stuck with an electric bicycle that's really heavy to pedal home. The more expensive electric bicycles, I think, are a bit lighter weight. They use good materials, but lightweight materials, and so they are probably easier to pedal without the electric assist. And that's probably an advantage, so you can really get double use out of a bike like that. For one of these heavier electric bicycles, you're probably not going to want to use it as your non-electric bicycle. You'd want to have a separate bicycle for that purpose. Something else I like about the electric bike experience is that when you're pedaling and when you have that assist turned on and it's you and the electric motor propelling you forward, it would be a similar experience to riding like a $5,000, $8,000 bicycle, you know, with super, super light carbon frame or something, because it's that kind of ease of pedaling that you get. And I've ridden lightweight and fancy bikes before, and had the special shoes, you know, bicycling shoes with clamps that, you know, clip your shoe into the pedal. You can get really lightweight, expensive bikes and have the right gear to make that super easy to pedal, super high efficiency experience. But it's expensive and it's just not as, you know, comfortable or accessible for some people, because the bike frame is designed to be as wind resistant as possible. You'll be leaning forward to reduce your wind resistance. On these electric comfort bikes, you kind of combine the ruggedness and comfort of a comfort bicycle with the ease of pedaling of an expensive lightweight bike that you're leaning over on. And that's kind of cool. I like that part of it. Most modern cars have an onboard computer that tells you your average fuel efficiency and your real-time fuel efficiency, as well as other data such as what was your average speed in your last trip or overall. And that's very revealing. If you're driving around a city, mostly running errands, then you'll notice that your average speed is probably 12 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, and that's about as fast as the average speed will be. And so if you're riding an electric bicycle, you can achieve about the same average speed. In other words, getting around in a car is not going to be much faster than riding an electric bicycle. And the electric bicycle will allow you to take some shortcuts using bicycle trails that you would not otherwise be able to take if you were driving. The electricity that I use to recharge the electric bicycle comes from a solar array, and it's a solar system that powers an entire building for the common areas. So I'm able to recharge the bicycle using clean energy. So that's a positive thing to know as I'm traveling around the city, that I can have transportation that is 100% clean. Well, that's about everything that I can think of to share about my electric bike experience, at least as it's been over the last year. And I look forward to getting out again this season with both the bicycles, the electric and the non-electric. In a future episode, I hope to talk about a variety of different bicycle designs and have sort of a buying guide for people that are thinking about getting into bicycling or replacing a bike. Well, for now, I want to say I appreciate all of the shares, the subscriptions, the likes and comments, all of that, and I look forward to sharing more with you again soon. Take care.